Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Firebrand Pursuit podcast. It's been a little bit, but we're finally back. And this week we are joined by Lily Lopez.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm not Lily. I'm saying hello, Lily.
Awesome. Well, Lily, I met you at Calvary Chapel, Yuba City. I started serving in the youth group there, right as you left. So we met at the adults group there, but we never actually served.
I kind of
at the same time.
I saw that you did worship, and then I was leaving, and I was like, "Kai, do some."
Yeah. What I'm gonna do. And yes. Yeah. You threw me in there. You got me. Yeah. So as I said, it has been a little while. Maybe we can just do a little update of what we've been up to, where we've been. You wanna take it away, Trevor?
Sure. Yeah. So the last 2 months have just been a blur for me, even though a lot of episodes came out and I was doing a lot of the editing. So the PT program I'm in has totally been kicking my butt, but it's great. It's going awesome, building a lot of relationships with classmates and in the new church that we started going to since we moved. And it's been awesome. Mm-hmm. It's been awesome. Learning a lot and really seeing how having a solid foundation of what you know about the Bible and how to live and everything really helps when you move to a new area. I mean, have you experienced mm-hmm. anything like that going to SoCal, Kai?
Maybe yes and no. SoCal is very familiar for me. So even as I've moved back, it's it's a second home almost.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so it's been maybe not quite as much as you experience, but I definitely I think visiting different churches and going around, I've definitely seen that. Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool.
Oh yeah.
All right. So Lily, like we were saying, I actually met you at Calvary Christian as well a long time ago. So what's happened since then? I have no idea.
Yeah, a lot since I was 12. I went to Bible college in Italy for 2 years through Calvary Chapel.
Wow.
And then I was supposed to stay out there actually and do kind of some missionary work, but because of our great friend COVID, I had to come back to the States and went back to Yuba City. And then by faith, I moved to LA knowing nobody. But I'm still here, and I'm alive, so that's good. I work for a nonprofit. We help adults with disabilities. It used to be a ministry, actually, at a Hope Chapel in Southern California. And so it's really cool because mm-hmm. my CEO is a pastor, my manager is a missionary kid. I love my job, so kind of just surviving and living.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So what's the end goal with the college, and what are you hoping to do?
Yeah, I have no idea what I'm doing, honestly. I'm kind of just working and just seeing what's next. I applied to a new job. I don't know. How much do I share on this? Sorry. Anyways.
Well, we have about 10,000 listeners.
Okay, right.
Probably 10 and 9. Probably 50 right now. So you can say whatever you want. It doesn't matter.
No, but yeah. I applied to a new job with a company that works actually sharing the gospel with youth, so I'm kind of seeing I want to get back into missions ministry long term, so I'm mm-hmm. on the road to that, hopefully, but just working here for now.
Very cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. What have I been up to?
Just because I asked you a question, in my mind I was going to the next topic.
I already went.
Oh, this is definitely staying in. I'm not editing. This is gold. So
I haven't been.
What
I haven't
are
been,
you been to?
not a ton new. I've been working at Moon Goat a lot. Just kind of between that and school. We've had some big school events recently that we just put a lot of planning and stuff into. So it's been really good, really sweet, but a lot of a lot of effort going into that. And
I believe it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We've been like ships in the night. We've not been able to really connect for like the last 3 weeks. So I believe it. It's been crazy.
Oh, yeah.
But for everyone out there and me, what the heck is Moon Goat?
that's the coffee shop that I'm working at now.
Okay.
Moon Goat Coffee. Yeah.
Okay. I was like, I have no frame of reference for what that is. How's the coffee there?
It's really good. They've been voted one of the best in Orange County. Actually.
Really?
So it's yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gonna have to order a bag online.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they're pretty legit.
Nice. Oh, do they roast their own stuff?
They do, yeah.
Ooh, okay, so I can get a bag online.
Oh,
we'll
yeah.
See. awesome.
Yeah.
All right, Kai, well, I think we can jump right in. Why don't you take it away?
Yeah, so as is usual, Lily, you've brought a couple topics to talk about, and the first of which being the importance of community.
Yes.
So the first kind of point that you had regarding that was what happens when you're in fellowship.
Yeah.
So maybe you want to take it away, just kind of talk about why you want to talk about that, what's
for
going
sure,
on there.
Yeah.
Scale of 1 to 10, how fired up are you about this topic?
I think, yeah, because like I mentioned, I went to Bible college where I was in an apartment with like 6 to 8 girls for 3 months nonstop. So it's like you get Whoa. Fellowship whether you want it or not. And then after Bible college, I came home, and when I moved to LA especially, I didn't know anybody out here, so I was, like, suffocated from that, and I was like, there has to be a balance of this somewhere, and so I think it's just, I've learned how much, obviously, fellowship is mentioned a lot, you know, it's kind of like the staples, like, we read your Bible, pray, go to church, get good fellowship, but I think when you're, like, thrown into a period without fellowship, you realize how important it is actually. And so, yeah, I think that's what I kind of wanted to talk about, just for like, especially like during the past 2 years or so, everyone's been like alone, I think, and like, you know, people are worried about their health, so they've stayed home and just kind of protected themselves or watched online. So I think that like the church itself is kind of lacking in community, and people have been like realizing that, and it's like affected like me, and I know other people as well, so I think that's why I think just it's so important for like there to be real community and fellowship. I said that like 5 times now, but yeah,
totally. No But so when you were in Italy, you're in that apartment with all those people, what do you think your biggest takeaway from that was?
Oh my god,
was it just don't live in an apartment with 8 other people?
Yes, exactly. Just live by yourself forever. No, definitely not. But I think it was honestly how quickly we're agitated and like annoyed with everyone else because you're like, oh, you left hair on the shower, or oh, you didn't close the like cabinet and stuff, and then you go to the shower and realize like your hair's up there and your coffee mug also isn't washed, and there's just like so much dying to flesh and like having to be there, especially because it was a great like atmosphere. It was Bible college where it came with like ups and downs, right? Because it was like you woke up and you didn't have normal conversations, but you were like, oh, so like, do you think that there actually are like dragons, like it says in Job, and like these like crazy theological things? As soon as you wake up, it's just great conversation. But then it's also a bunch of girls in a house for 3 months, and it's like, wow, this is interesting because I've never done this before. So.
I was gonna say I definitely connect with that because I live in a house with 11 other guys right now. So it's, I feel that.
Yeah. So what is that like, you know, for you, Kai, with all those people around? Do you feel like it's too much community, or do you think there's like a pocket of life in there where you could really kind of settle into that for long periods?
Yeah, I think it's definitely really cool. I was very apprehensive of it because I've never done anything like this, like outside of just living with my own family, as far as living with this many people. But just as I've seen so far, like we're all 8 of the guys besides myself are at the school of worship. And 2 of the other guys that are here are former School of Worship students and interns. Mm-hmm. And so we all have that in common. And I think it's just really cool. it's not to say it hasn't been tough, because it definitely has been, but you know, just being around each other, being there for each other, because a lot of the guys, and like, not to say that I haven't either, but we're all just kind of going through our own stuff personally all at the same time, like while we're trying to learn how to live and cope with each other in day-to-day life. But just being able to walk with each other, and to, I think the biggest thing that has been necessary to make it like worthwhile is to be communicating and like being open and vulnerable about like the things that we're going through, because then we can not, like, obviously we can walk alongside each other in those things, and you know, be praying and be laboring for each other in those things, and but also just be like aware that we're all going through our own stuff, and just be aware of that, like as we also annoy each other and and get on each other's nerves,
being slow to anger.
Oh yeah, definitely. But it's definitely really cool. Just like, you know, we're all, a lot of the, like, everybody, pretty much everybody in the house isn't local, and so they've all come from different places in the States, and they're all here for 9 months, you know, to pursue God, pursue like their talents, and so there's like this common goal, common like way of life, and common theme of life, and so just being able to do that and like walk alongside each other in the day to day, I think it's a really cool opportunity, I think, for sure.
Very cool. So I have a question for Lily too. Like, in that period of time, you know, you have that community around you, and you know, I really like what you were saying, Kai, to try and connect to that. That it seems like the challenges and getting people around you in a situation like that, it's like having that kind of Christ-centered mindset towards like, how can I really be in community with them, not just be in proximity to them. So what was that like? Did you have any experiences with that where that really stood out to you?
Of like the community aspect, like it being really Christ-centered? Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, well, not just being Christ-centered, but like how to like build those relationships with those teammates and kind of be there for each other.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Just as like you were saying, Kai, too, like it's so important. Like that vulnerability is key if you want that season of constant like living with each other to go good. Because there were girls, you know, who were a lot more shy. I'm, like, very open, so I was, like, probably was too vulnerable, and people were like, okay. But then there was, like, there's people who definitely were a lot more shy and reserved, and I think for them, they struggled in different ways, because it's, like, it's hard, because even though we're all there together, we're, like, just as you said, we're all going through our own things. We're, like, we had school, so it wasn't even just, like, a hangout time all the time, but, like, we had stuff to do. We had, like, finances. We were still sorting out, because even though it was, like, abroad, we still had to, like, manage groceries and everything. So we all had that coming together, too. So it wasn't always, like, oh, hey, girl, like, how are you doing? Like, how's your walk? Are you stressed about anything? Do you need prayer? Like, it definitely wasn't, like that. But at the same time, it was nice, because the way we had it, we had, like, a meeting every week, especially with, like, the girls specifically in our dorm, where we had that moment where it was, like, okay, like, does anyone need prayer? And we shared our testimony, which I've, like, actually learned to do just in general with people I've met, is, like, what's your testimony, especially if they're, like, Christian. Just because I think it's such, like, a testimony, realizing, like, we all have, like, God working in our lives, and we can connect on that no matter what our stories are. And so that was really cool, because we were able to connect with that and definitely understand each other a lot better, and why they were a certain way, or, you know, just having even, like, more grace for each other, and, like, just being able to come together more. And, like, yeah, I think that was a big...
That's great. Yeah, that vulnerability and that communication, that's... I'm glad that you said that, because my mind was kind of looking for it, but I think that's something that we take for granted a lot of times, and we are just around the people so much that we just kind of fall into a routine of seeing them, not really having that time to really connect and talk vulnerably. And so when you live with them, you have to, because it's like, okay, we got to talk about some things, because some things are bothering me. But I mean, I think that's a good takeaway, like, just for our day-to-day. You know, when we're in church or we're seeing these people that maybe we do only see them once a week, but that's no excuse for us not to try and have that. So, that's great. So, and it sounds like you had a lot of that while you're in Italy. So, like, what was the shift like going from that to COVID and back in Yuba City, because for the listeners out there, if they don't know where Yuba City is, it's like nowhere. And that's where I grew up. And so when you hear a place like Italy, it's like, oh, wow, it was probably really cool up there. Tons of people, tons of stuff to do, I imagine.
Oh, yeah.
I can't even imagine going back to Yuba City and then not seeing anyone.
Yeah, it was difficult. And our church, like the one that Kai and I went to, it's not like a mega church at all. Like we actually started talking because of our young adults group. So that's like, and it wasn't a big group at all. There's probably like 6-7 people max. It's like when you're feeding like someone and then you cut them off from like their food, because it's just like this constant nourishment and like great conversation. And then you come back to a city where people in your church are just growing on different spiritual levels even than you. So if you try to have like a certain conversation with them, like theologically or for example or something, it's like harder because it's not that same like meatiness as if in Bible college. It's a small city, so it's like you kind of do your own thing. You go home. If you work, you work. And you go to church Sundays, maybe like during the weekend or something. And it was just really hard. I felt like I was really needing it. And so that's why I moved actually to Southern California, because I was like, there's a lot of people there. Like, I've ought to find great community and like a lot of people. And which, come to find out, that was actually even difficult too. But it was definitely hard, and I think just realizing that, like, either the people that you do have around you, like, really connect with them, and, like, yeah, that communication and that vulnerability, like daily, it says even, I think it's in Hebrews where it says, like, exhort each other daily. Like, it's not just, like, once a week where we need to do that, but it's, like, often being in that community. It was definitely hard to come back to Yuba Duba.
I think something I was thinking about was just the importance not only of fellowship, just personally in the Christian's life, but also like for the I guess growth of the body of Christ as well, like just the church. Because like I think Trevor, you had mentioned earlier about like, or no, it might have been both of you, but somebody mentioned about just like as COVID was hitting, like churches going online and people becoming more comfortable with like just staying home and watching the church service from home and taking in the message and the teaching and the Bible from that in that way. And I think there is like a certain comfort to it, just not having to get out and like socialize and actually fellowship. But I think like there's obviously a like negative impact of that and not fellowshipping, because we are like, it's not, church isn't just for our own being filled up and being taken in the word and being taught. I think it's obviously for fellowship, for us all to be together, to be exhorting one another, to be pushing each other towards Christ and encouraging each other, you know, calling each other out, being accountability is the word I was trying to think of there.
The old iron sharpens iron.
Oh yeah.
yeah. I didn't mean to derail you there.
No, you're good.
I had a verse to share, because what you're mentioning is kind of like right on with that, and it's Hebrews 10. I looked up yours, Lily, too, just in case anyone out there was wondering. It was Hebrews 3:13. I'm going a little later in the book, though. Mine's going to be 10:23-25. It says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And I really like that, because it's like you were starting to get at, Kai, is like there's kind of a train of thought, like we have this hope, and that's probably where it starts for us, because if we're lacking that community, first thing that starts to kind of erode is that hope. Like, you start to feel so hopeless and lonely, but if you just get recentered, I think that's the first step, getting recentered on what God has said, stir that hope up in yourself. And then what? You look for the people, you go out, you meet them, you call them, whatever that is. And then you have that aspect, like you were talking about, that, you know, the correcting each other or just being there for each other to have those vulnerable interactions. And what I really like is in verse 24, it says, let us think of ways to motivate one another. It's like, I'm going to think of ways to get you motivated too, now that I've gotten motivated. And I think sometimes we're kind of on it with that hope, where we can kind of drum that up and then go looking for other people. And sometimes we're more in a place where we need someone to come to us and give us that motivation, if that makes any sense. I don't know what either of you think about that.
No, I totally agree. And I think that's hard, because for me, I don't like to ask people for help. So when I'm struggling, especially in my faith, because it's like, oh, I went to Bible college and like whatever. And so they think, you know, some people are like, oh, you're good. Like, I'm sure you never struggle with your faith. Like, you don't need me to check up on you or anything. But definitely not. And I don't like asking people, like, hey, I'm struggling. I need prayer for, like, this. Or I just want to, like, come. Can I hang out with you even for, like, get coffee or something? Just because, like, I don't want to even, like, my pride stops me from doing that. But it's, like, we really need to kill our flesh in all relationships. Like, especially in just, like, community. Because it's, like, you know, it's, like, they haven't reached out to me or, like, asked me for prayer for a while. I'm just not going to ask them either. But it's, like, you need it. They probably need it. But because we're both, like, busy and, like, I'll see them on Sunday, I can ask them then. But I think, like, that importance of really caring, like, caring for each other. Not even just, like, loving one another on Sundays and, like, thinking of them every once in a while. But genuinely being there for each other and, like, killing your flesh to make sure that they're okay, because then, you know, it's a circle and it becomes a family where eventually everyone's together and, like, checking up on each other, if that makes sense.
Totally. Yeah. And it's been a really, like, strange time for me, because, like, from when I started going to church, I went to the same one for however many years it's been. And so just in the last, like, few months, that was totally kind of uprooted, and so I'm in a whole new population of people. So it really is a lot of, like, building those connections with people and that groundwork so that we can have those types of relationships and kind of seeing that bloom, and really starting with prayer, you know, like what church to go to and what should we try and get involved in. It's been really cool to kind of see that blooming. But yeah, it really is. It's like you have to be very active in it and be thinking about it, or passively it'll just never happen.
Yeah, totally. I think maybe we can, from that, we can get into the second point that you had, Lily, and that's what to do in seasons of loneliness. When we're lacking that fellowship that we've been talking about.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I just think it's so funny how, like, again, just use an example of when I was in Bible college, like, constant, you know, suffocating with just people left and right. But there's still moments where you felt lonely. And it's like, how do you feel alone when there's, like, 15 people in a room right now, like, praying for, like, the Spirit to come and, like, fill you and just to unite you, but you still have that loneliness? And I felt it on an extreme level when I moved to LA, because I didn't know anyone within, like, a 2-hour drive radius of me. Like, and that was hard, and it took me, like, a month to just go in different churches. I, like, got involved in, like, different groups, like, during the week and stuff to try to get that fellowship. But it's, like, even like you said, Trevor, like, praying about it, because God really leads you to, like, where you need to be. And so I think that it's just, like, in those moments you really need to, like, cling to Jesus, which sounds so, like, cliche, right? Like, believe me. But, like, like, honestly.
Not at all.
Right. Like, but prayer is, like, so powerful in those moments, because it's, like, you're realizing that, like, there's someone to talk to, and I think you just feel God's presence more when you are alone, because it's like, if you're really seeking after him, you know, and he's there, and he's, like, fellowshipping with you, and it's this beautiful, like, growth. It's hard, obviously, because you still, like, if you watch, like, a game, and you're like, so, Jesus, like, what do you think of the game? You know, just, like, those, like, real-life conversations that happen with, like, real people. But besides that, I just think that, yeah, really praying and, like, reading his word, because that's when it comes alive too, when you're not hearing from other people, but, like, God straight up speaking to you, like, from his word and through prayer and those times of, like, just quiet and, like, listening to him. And
yeah,
and I don't think, also, I don't know if this will make sense, but, like, in those times of loneliness, like go find people. Like, I just think it's so important. Like, obviously Jesus went, like, to the mountains to pray by himself and, like, secluded himself, but he always came back. He always came back to, like, crowds or his disciples. And so it's, like, finding those churches or finding those groups until, like, you feel like, oh, this is where I'm supposed to be right now.
Yeah. I love that that's, like, your first response to that question, too. Like, whether it's, like, your own alone time that you set for yourself, where you go up to Mount Saint Jesus, or you go to wherever on your own, or it's like, you know, it's not, you didn't choose it like COVID. That should be our first response, is really kind of digging into the Word and kind of connecting with God. It makes me think of 2 Timothy, and I had to look it up. I'm not even going to try and pretend like I just remembered this, but Paul basically says, like, everybody abandoned me and I'm in jail. But God is still with me. He's still going to deliver me through this time. And so when you have that, you can kind of get your mind past the part where you feel like just down and alone. Because it's easy to stay there in that low point. But if you can kind of recenter yourself, get back on track, that's kind of the first step to really connecting with him and just kind of progressing in that relationship. So then even if you are alone, you still feel that connection with the Lord. And you're having progress. Things are happening. You're not just stagnant. And I think that's the worst. It's like when you're lonely and you just kind of sit in that loneliness and then you stagnate for a long time. Because then you look back and it's just all bad. It's like, oh, I regret that, and I felt lonely. I still feel lonely. Yeah. Somebody help me. I think we all kind of have to go through that at some point, and then we get better at it and smarter, and we start to learn to connect with God first. And so that's great. That's your reaction. I really like that.
Totally. I can attest to just being intentional about finding community and finding fellowship. Because there have been two times in the last, like, 2 to 3 years where both times were me moving back to Yuba City, not of my choice, and both times I kind of went an unhealthy amount of time without, like, getting involved in fellowship, and I didn't, of my own stubbornness, I didn't look for it for a while, and it got to the point where I was just, like, dying. Like, I was just, I needed some kind of, like, outlet, just to be able to talk with people and hang out with people. And the first time I ended up finding a church, and, like, once I had, you know, decided to kind of give up my own, like, stubbornness and let God guide me somewhere, he had provided a place for me to serve and fellowship. And then the second time I started going to Calvary, like, around December of 2019, and I got involved with the 2020, somewhere around there. And then I got involved with it's been a long 2 years. Got involved with the young adults, and then Lily, you got me into the high school group. But yeah, it's, for me, fellowship is something that's, like, doesn't always come naturally, but when I've, like, seeked God in it, and I've, like, looked for it and actually desired it, I think, like, God has provided and allowed for that, when I've opened up to it.
Yeah. And I think that is, like, the thing that holds a lot of people back. And I've definitely felt that even recently with this new church that we're going to. It's like there's a little bit of apprehension. Like, do I really want to open up to everybody and be vulnerable and start that? You know, but it's almost like you've got to, you know, if you really want to connect with the body and link arms and work together, you got to get to know people. Otherwise, you know, it's just not going to be the same. And so, certainly you got to start there.
I think that's what's cool too, of, like, how the imagery of the body is one body, like, scattered among, like, every church, no matter where you're at. Because you can, like, I feel like that too, like, the same, like, background story of my life to every new church I went to, and, like, explain to people where I'm at and everything, and then I go to another church and it's, like, the same story over and over again. But I think that's just what's cool, is, like, it's one body and it's one fellowship, and it's, like, there's no, like, need for embarrassment. I don't know. I think I've just learned that, like, communication and that vulnerability, like, totally. End up being beautiful in the end, honestly.
Totally, yeah. And just, like, with that, like, you know, for all the listeners out there, you know, be encouraged, you know. More than likely, everyone at your church is feeling the same way, and, like, they want that connection, they want that community, and it just takes someone to kind of start that, you know. So if you have any inkling of, like, you want to get out there and get to know people, you just gotta start those conversations. Yeah. Because once you do, you know, like I said, I'm connecting with this new group of people, it's been really cool to see how natural it is and how God starts to link people together. And, you know, you relate on things you didn't even know that you had relate on, and it's really cool and profound. And so for that reason, you know, I'd like to encourage everyone to step out of their comfort zone and do it. And pray for it, because mm-hmm. God might bring the right people to you as well. But definitely don't just go and feel lonely. That's just, should never do that at church. That's crazy.
Right on. Well, if you guys have any other thoughts to share on the topic, if not.
No, I feel good. So
yeah.
I just want to say to all the listeners out there, just as always, if you ever want to be on this podcast or show and talk about what you're passionate about, you can always reach us at our email. We have everything in the descriptions to get a hold of us and get on it, and we'll try and have you on. It would be great.
Oh yeah, you can find us on Instagram. We're on YouTube.
Nice.
Like Trevor said, our email.
We are.
any of those places. And the email is firebrandpursuit@gmail.com.
Oh yeah, gotta have the Gmail.
I think
it's not gonna work. If you don't. Don't email us from an AOL. All right.
Right on.
Well, thank we will. Oh yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just gonna say thank you, Lily, for being on this week. We'll see you again next week.
Totally. Again, I'm not Lily. I'm just concurring with what Kai said.
Yeah, thank you guys for letting me join you guys.
Of course.
No problem.
Oh, we'll say goodbye for now. Goodbye.
Bye.
Welcome to Firebrand Pursuit. This podcast exists to provide a platform to encourage passionate and candid conversations between Christians and people of other worldviews. We want to bring a Christian perspective that is firmly founded in biblical principles to bear in the setting of all social and theological issues that the church must contend with. We also want to discuss other worldviews and provide a safe space where those conversations can be shared in a mature and exciting fashion. This podcast was created by myself, Trevor Turk, and Kai Wilbanks. Because we lack formal theological training, and the fact that we are not pastors or ministers, means that we find ourselves in a very similar position to the majority of the church and people in general.
We hope that by promoting thought in the church, we might better contend for the gospel within society. We also hope that by giving people of other worldviews a chance to share what they think and believe, we'll both create a culture of healthy debate, as well as represent the gospel in the closest fashion to Christ that we can. These sincere and passionate desires are what drive us to share with you Firebrand Pursuit.